All Tied Up and Nowhere to Go. Written by Demery. Read by Opalsong. Fandom My Hero Academia. Rating Teen. Relationship Aizawa Shota, Yagi Toshinori. Also tagged for light bondage, massage, self-care, unresolved sexual tension, sexy eyes, bondage daddy Aizawa, Domzawa, the fascination begins, and unwanted boners. Part 3 of the Bandages and Bravado series. All Might tapped his foot and strained through the next day of school, infinitely more anxious than the students for the clock to strike 5 and usher in that evening and all it entailed. Aizawa met him outside the school gates, and together they breezed past the stakeouts of journalists, who practically lived at the school, waiting to pounce on the next crisis. All Might could only hope it would be a while in coming. As usual, no one connected the bright yellow suit that flapped around his skinny frame to the one the boisterous and media-friendly All Might wore that morning, when they were scrambling over themselves for a quote or a shot wide enough to capture his full majesty. The group let them pass without comment, arguing instead over whether or not they would be shot with lasers for attempting to climb the school's security wall for a good shot of the rising first years. They rounded the corner, and All Might fell into step a little behind Aizawa, letting him lead the way. He struggled with the urge to make small talk as they wound through quieting streets, glancing around for some indication of where they were headed. His palms sweated in his cavernous pockets. 10 minutes later, they walked into the same bar from before, and Aizawa took a seat, ordering a beer. Toshinori, at a loss, sat down too. He asked for water. They sat in silence, and an uncomfortable silence at that. All Might glanced around furtively, wondering if this was some sort of mind play. This was the same bar he had utterly failed to relax in before. So, was he supposed to be realizing that the key to calming down was entirely in his hands? Or was there a secret club behind the bar where stressed heroes danced all night? He almost looked for a secret button underneath the bar before he stopped himself, hands clenching nervously in his lap. He knew the vibe, as Yamada would describe it, was fast approaching a hostage situation, considering how jumpy he was. He couldn't help it. He couldn't relax. That was the whole damn point. Finally, Aizawa looked over at him, his capacity for enduring bullshit visibly ebbing from his tired eyes. He put his half-empty glass down, with a sigh, and slid some money across the bar. Okay, let's go. Turns out he just wanted a drink. Simple. Toshinori spoiled even that for him. Neither had a car. The university town was small, and so were their daily lives in comparison. Out on the street again, they walked side by side in the quiet evening for about 15 minutes, then up 2 flights of stairs. The keys to the apartment jingled, and Aizawa let them both in, All Might following at a self-conscious distance. The younger hero gestured at the couch and slouched away into the kitchen, leaving the towering man to stand awkwardly and twiddle his thumbs in a not-so-unknown apartment. All Might tried to ignore the pounding in his chest. Why was this whole situation getting to him so much? Maybe because he couldn't see Kurt Blase, Eraserhead, cooking up some popcorn and putting on a movie to burn away the stress of a shootout or gangfight. He glanced around. Or maybe because part of him was inspecting the kitchen floor for traces of blood and ceramic. The apartment as a whole was relentlessly bare. Everything was just a little cockeyed, a little neglected, but clean enough. Wide black couch, paper-thin coffee table, a lamp or two, a TV, about 7 models behind the current fad, a well-stocked bookshelf, maybe a few DVDs masquerading as books. He breathed out and convinced himself to sit down. The couch was nice, velvety, a cut above the rest of Aizawa's furniture, likely due to his prioritization of sleep. A normal person. All Might told himself not to look for the fancy tea box, which was on top of the fridge. He saw some clothes in a pile, all dark, simple knits, and a few beer cans stowed under the coffee table. Aizawa hadn't bothered to clean up for him, and that was somehow comforting. Put him at ease. A faint, persistent cough still worried at his throat, which he tried to muffle in his fist. A glass of lukewarm water appeared at his elbow, with a complimentary, impatient look. Aizawa pushed the glass into his hand as he sat down beside him, which only caused the older man to cough more. "You're coughing," he said dully, taking a sip of his own beer. Nodding, All Might took a dutiful sip, but otherwise couldn't touch it, and instead held onto it like an anchor. His fingers worked at the glass, up and down, but not too hard, not again. Aizawa smirked. "You didn't take anything at the bar, either. Do you always refuse to eat or drink when you're nervous?" He shook his head, then took a deep gulp of his beer and crunched the can. "That'll get you in trouble. No wonder you're so skinny." All Might opened his mouth in a retort, getting acutely more confused as to where all of this was going, when Aizawa stood up. "Okay, then. Let's get this going before you wither away completely." All Might felt, with a strange clarity, angry. Just a little, just enough, in keeping with the way they'd been provoking each other from the beginning. So he stood up, courageous and indignant enough to ask what Aizawa's mysterious plans were for the night, and received a very succinct answer. The reins barely gave his legs a chance to straighten. The white bands whipped around his arms, waist, and legs, pulling taut. In a split second, Aizawa had him strung up like a puppet, arms and legs away from his body. The urge to struggle was immediate and instinctive, but one look at his fellow teacher's calm expression, and those voices quieted somewhat, allowing him to make the quasi-rational decision to just hang there wordlessly. This is what they were doing? Aizawa stepped up to his humble rig and began checking the restraints with a deft hand, going about it like he was tending to the class plants. His face was so close that All Might could smell the tang of alcohol, but the other hero's movements were sure and fluid, and something about the closeness and basic attention began to heat his body up. His breath came short and light, gut-jolting. He told himself to calm down again, but the man's unflinching physical closeness added another layer of nerves. He flexed in the restraints. Aizawa looked up. "Too tight?" "No." Taking a steadying breath, Toshinori tested them more honestly, listening to the deep twanging sound the reinforced fabric made. He was less afraid, more curious. "Move your right hand for me." Aizawa did so. He felt a little embarrassed under the man's strict gaze, maybe because he was a little too glad to follow the simple orders. It streamlined his thoughts. The bandages adjusted minutely with the movements of his gaunt piano string tendons, and he looked up at his own arms in a kind of arrested wonder. "Your left?" He did so. Aizawa's fingers moved, wave-like, and the reins shifted and slithered, falling naturally into the dips in All Might's shrunken form. His waist, the pinch of his wrists, the dip of his inner arms. The close, minute scrape against his skin forced the hair along the back of his neck to stand up, and he shuddered. There. Aizawa sat back, apparently satisfied with his work. The vice of the reins around All Might's chest made him aware of every trembling breath, and he hung there, eyes pinned on the floor, wondering what was next. Apparently he wasn't alone in that. So, what do you want to do? What? What do you mean, what do you want to do? You were the one who did this! All Might sputtered, forcing himself not to yank at the reins as Aizawa leaned back and reached for the hero's abandoned water glass, taking a leisurely sip. Well, I don't know, Aizawa murmured, almost to himself, grimacing slightly at the water. He looked up, cocked his head. We could watch a movie. What? It's up to you. A shrug. All Might's mind boggled and his stomach dropped, and he officially made up his mind to escape from this strange man and his strange habits. This was an awful idea. Luring people into your house and tying them up? This is what relaxes you? This is incredibly unheroic behavior. All Might lectured as he struggled, kicking out with his feet and wanting dearly to throttle the younger man. No. The word was a deep, cool weight on All Might's chest. He stilled. The water glass hit the coffee table, and the simple clink sent shivers up his arms, swept his attention up again. All sounds were suddenly louder, closer, like any noise telegraphed vibrations down the length of the taut reins, whispering against his skin. What's relaxing is the suspension of control. Sometimes you, your mind, your training, can't let you do things. Things that you need to relax or let go. Because that training is all about never letting go. Like this, there's an illusion that you can't do anything to resist. So you have to accept whatever happens. Aizawa's voice was low as he ran a finger with delicious ease over a taut rein. Dark eyes tracing the length of it, and then up to Toshinori's bloodless face. The illusion relying, of course, on the fact that nothing happens here that you don't actually want. Toshinori's entire body erupted in chills. The apartment was absolutely silent. An alien landscape with a beautiful man regarding him pensively over the rise of his scarred knuckles. Toshinori could feel the cool trickle of sweat drip down his sides. He swallowed with difficulty. What had he gotten himself into? And it goes without saying that I don't lure people. That sounds exhausting. He raised a brow. So, what do you want? Toshinori caught his voice, tried to think, couldn't think. Eventually it came out, hoarsely, simply, in the form of a plea. I want to relax, he said faintly, heart beating high in his throat. He struggled to keep eye contact with the younger hero as his skin thrilled shamelessly. Aizawa crunched on that for a minute, brushing his hair out of his eyes. Any specific part of you that wants to relax? Oh, my back is killing me, Toshinori rattled off, scraping some comic relief from his baked brains. Ever since I started teaching, I just can't... Okay. Aizawa reached for him, too close and too quick. Toshinori flinched, an ugly whole-body affair that the reins recorded with a hollow twang. Aizawa immediately stilled, just like last time, on the kitchen floor when he reached for his scar. The responsiveness, the responsibility of the other man was conscious and calculated, rivaled in speed only by Toshinori's instant reflex. Toshinori's desire to duck away and hide was foiled as Aizawa drew back just enough to look him straight in the face. I'm going to massage your back to try to ease the pain. Your clothes will stay as they are, and you have full control over intensity and speed. This is in your hands. If you don't want any part of it, you say so, immediately. The younger hero searched his expression intently, adding, I'll even pretend it never happened if it will make you feel better. Bit by bit, Toshinori began to understand. There was nothing to lose here. No consequences, no matter what he chose. And he strangely trusted the other man to keep his word. He had kept silent about his uproar, after all, and suggested this. At last, Toshinori nodded firmly, overwhelmed by the dual calm and intensity of the dark, complex man. Okay, now, breathe. Toshinori forced himself to breathe as far as the one lung could carry him. Aizawa's hands cupped his shoulders first, a kind of hello to his nervous, knotted-up body. And then he stepped close, close enough that Toshinori could hide his face and his sudden flush in the space between them, which was a blessing, and looped his arms around the older hero's pathetically thin chest, pressing his warm palms flat against his back. Toshinori had to close his eyes and focus not to vibrate out of his skin, part of him wanting for the other shoe to drop, or just some sort of painful, super-powered massage quirk. Then, true to his word, he just rubbed. Toshinori's bat-eared body got on board immediately, liquefying in record time. In the careful silence, Aizawa's strong fingers worked through knots he'd thought for years were just part of how his body was built, or had been built and rebuilt, pieced back together with bits of metal and hours upon hours of anesthesia. After all the surgeries, he'd never had the chance to work his muscles back together, over and around the scar tissue. By simple touch, it felt as though cracks were softening and disappearing, and the relief was as intense as the experience itself. After a few minutes, he truly relaxed in the reins and let himself lean against Aizawa's hard chest, gingerly putting his chin on his shoulder in the permissive, kind quiet. Little pieces of pain cropped up now and then, but it was mostly relief as all the thoughts were simultaneously massaged from his head. He was so deftly trapped, he couldn't even try to twist and assist the other man's labor, which is likely what Aizawa intended. Any potential panic or claustrophobia was short-lived, snuffed out by the comforting weight of the other man's energy, stillness, and control. Even the occasional struggle of breath was reinforced by the press of the other man's chest, something to lean against. In that moment, it was effortless just to be and receive, something Toshinori hadn't known in years, if ever. His breath came low and slow, pleasure gathering just below his skin, in a thick and heady buzz. He was humming, pulsing, in his body yet without pain, fully awake yet unthinking. In the close rustle of Aizawa's dark hair, he smelled tea tree and pine. In case you're wondering, this is my apology, came Aizawa's low voice, right against his ear. Shivers ripped deliciously down Toshinori's spine. For using my quirk on you that day, not knowing that the issue was so fraught. Toshinori had to think about the sound of the words, chew on them, painstakingly reassemble them into meaning as his back was rubbed into a happy mess. He knew the memory itself of his powers, his mantle, his worthiness, bleeding down and out onto the kitchen floor was painful, pathetic, and that he should be the one apologizing. But he couldn't really feel it where he was right now, wherever he was. He winced as Aizawa's fingers caught on his shoulder blade, then nodded dreamily. Apology accepted, my friend, he heard himself say. But it's not for me to place blame. Surely you thought you needed to use it? The wonderful hands on his back slowed, almost curious. What I mean to say is, surely you were just a bit scared, intimidated? He grinned stupidly, high as shit. Awed, perhaps? Aizawa chuckled lazily into his neck, and it felt good. Perhaps better than the massage itself. Toshinori wondered why he still had his shirt on, why it had to scratch when those fingers pressed and kneaded. All of this would feel extremely good against bare skin. Toshinori was quiet the entire time, just a little grunt here and there as the bigger knots were worked out, until Aizawa pulled away and a low, desperate groan escaped his body as the man's rough cheek scraped his neck raw. He arched into the younger hero's hard chest and then froze, Aizawa's fingers similarly motionless on his shoulders. He came back to his body in an awful rush, suddenly taking stock of every point of restraint. His skin burned. His trousers, four sizes too big, were tight. Toshinori exhaled sharply, something like panic rising hot and nasty out of the fog. No, he hadn't meant to do that. Of course he hadn't. His body usually had other ideas, but this was not acceptable. Shit. Aizawa's fingers oh so carefully lifted off him in the tense silence, and Toshinori clenched down with everything he had, fists shaking at the end of the reins. Not controlled anymore. "You're thinking too much," Aizawa said quietly, still standing motionless in the crook of his shivering body. Toshinori grit his teeth, trying to get a grasp on his breathing. He was terrified at what he'd done at such a light touch. This wasn't who he used to be. All Might's skin was too thick. But now here he was, unable to hide his excitement with the reins mercilessly exposing his ruined body to this man, who would probably drop him in disgust at any moment. "Oh, how do you know?" "I can almost hear it." Aizawa's tone had a touch of suffering to it, his own personal brand of obscenely usual disenchantment. The other hero gave him 30 more seconds of thinking, sweating. Then, "I'm about halfway done. Do you want to stop now?" It was such a simple question. It collapsed the cacophony of his body and his embarrassment into a simple binary. So he was able to quiet his mind and actually think. So he thought simply, the way the reins allowed. No. He didn't want to stop. He was enjoying it. The touch, the relief, the closeness of another human being. The simplicity of safe captivity, most of all. There was some small power in the realization, as well as the fact that the other man was willing to continue despite the awkward response from his body. Aizawa nodded approvingly, hands alighting on his back again. Okay. And for the next 10 minutes, Toshinori stilled and was touched. At the end, Aizawa gave his back a firm pat, the same kind of approval the initial rig had received. That of a job well done. He released the reins carefully and deposited the older man on the couch, as he did so, citing the circulation issues that usually accompanied prolonged bondage and suspension. He should stand with caution and take it slowly. Toshinori did. Aizawa made him drink a full glass of water before he left. Surreally, he was able to wish the other man a good night and thank him for his time. Then he walked home in a thoughtless haze and crawled into bed and fell into a sleep so deep he was late for planning period the next day, which Aizawa, the same rumpled, quiet Aizawa as the previous night, somehow treated with a little less frustration than normal. Said he looked rested and pulled a chair up, offering to help him catch up on sorting the students for sparring. As he plugged in and pored over the spreadsheets, Toshinori sat straighter and easier than he had in recent memory. A faint smile on his face. His head was clear and the strategy came easily. The two men even got along a little better that lecture period, although All Might knew he overdid it a bit with the posing towards the end. And somehow, although Toshinori did not remember speaking about it to anyone, a back rub from Aizawa ended up in the faculty lottery at the end of the year, much to the screaming delight of Midnight and present Mike. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/Opalsong. Thanks for listening.
Relax.